Good morning, my friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to Morning Glory, our midweek Bible study. And I'm so glad that you are here today. And I know God's Word is going to bless you really good. Now, we're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 60, if you just want to mark your Bible over there. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we explore your Word today in the area of creativity, I pray your people begin to soar to new heights and they get breakthrough ideas, breakthrough solutions, and that they can see it and then implement what it is that you have shown them. Thank you, Father, from imagination to reality. Father, let the creative juices be stirred by your anointed word. Let it be manna from heaven, angelic food for all of the angels that are watching, your holy saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father, and amen. Praise God. You know, I was thinking earlier today that it was the year 2012, and I had a visitation from Jesus. He came and talked to me, and he shared some things about my ministry, about my personal life, but he also shared some other things that were kind of outside of that scope, and I thought they were very interesting. And one of the things that Jesus actually said to me in this vision, he said, America will be the first nation to put a man on Mars. And he told me that in the year 2012, and I'll tell you what, we're getting really close to that right now. Let me put a picture up on the screen. This is the big SpaceX Starship. It's pretty tall, isn't it? It's actually taller than the Statue of Liberty. That's gigantic. So it's taller than three football fields in length. Very, very big rocket. And that's what they're going to use to get men to Mars. Now, let me put up another picture that gives you another insight into the size of this thing. Here, you see the different rockets that have been used over the decades. And you'll notice that the SpaceX Starship is actually taller than that gigantic Saturn V rocket that took men to the moon back in the late 1960s, 1969, and also in the 70s. So I find it very interesting because when the Lord told me that America will be the first nation to put a man on the moon, you know, it's not like I thought like God, I know God knows everything and he thinks of everything and he created everything, but I wasn't really sure God was that interested in research and the area of space and things like that. I said in the vision, I said, well, Lord, do you have a scripture for that you could give me? And as soon as I asked it, he responded, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 8. And so I got my Bible out and I turned to Isaiah 60 verse 8 because I wasn't sure what that scripture was. I was kind of familiar with the beginning part of Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 and 2, you know, arise, let your light shine and all of that good stuff. But I had no clue of what was coming when my eyes were going to fall on verse 8. But this is what it says. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roost? Who are these that fly? I said, Lord, that's too cool. Woo, praise God. Amen. And, you know, looking back in history, there was a time when President Kennedy basically gave the commission that we will be the first nation that puts a man on the moon. And so there was a major buildup to get that accomplished. And NASA, the governmental arm of space exploration, began to go to work and money began to pour into it. And leading scientists, engineers, and all of those people with their various skills began to give it all they had. And what they found out is that many things that they were doing had never, ever been done before in the history of humanity. So the things that they did were very, very unique, and they had to be created on the spot. You know, when we look at the Kennedy Space Center, which is this massive control center, so they can monitor what's going on the International Space Station, so they can do all of these things. All of that never existed until men sat down and thought, how are we going to organize this so that we can all communicate together and also communicate with a spaceship that's going to be hundreds of thousands of miles away? How are we going to do this? So they decided we need a command center. And things begin to develop and grow out of that. So they had to figure it out and solve problems on the go. And there were a lot of challenges, a lot of problems, but for every challenge, there was a solution that was eventually worked out. Praise the Lord. We know that God has made man in his image. So the creative nature of God is reflected in humanity. But creativity can really only truly reach its highest potential when a person is in Christ, and those who are in Christ who also attach their faith to creative works. And that's when you get over into expressions that not only solve problems, not only benefit humanity, but also glorify God. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and get a big bite of this today out of one verse, and that is verse 3. Praise God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds, and worlds would, of course, represent the earth and all the planets and the planetary system and our solar system and all the planets outside of that, and on it goes, the vast universe itself. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the worlds were framed by the word of God. I really like that word framed because recently we've had some new paintings added to our house. Pastor Kelly saw a couple of beautiful paintings that were very Christ-like, phenomenal artwork. And so she grabbed them. She made the purchase, and they are beautiful, beautiful paintings that glorify the Lord. But you know what? The painting needs a frame. And it's really when you only put it in the frame that it stands out to its fullest ability. So there's a few we've gotten framed, but there's a couple more that are recent additions. We need to get those framed. But God, He framed this whole creation by his word, praise God. Now, the word framed in the Hebrew, also in the Greek, it means to be formed and fitted together. That's why without also that frame, it's not quite finished. So you have to frame it, and it also means fit it together. And I want you to catch something very special. I'm going to read it now, the same verse, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. I remember one time I was talking to somebody and I said, let's read this verse from the Amplified Bible. And he got all terrified, like it was like a Book of Mormon or something. I said, brother, don't you ever study the Bible? He goes, what's the Amplified Bible? I said, it's an English Bible that expands the original Greek language. Come on, what rock have you been living under? Woo, praise God, amen. So we need to be disciples of Christ and study the Word of God. So I want to read this from the Amplified Bible, and I'm sure most of you would have access to this version. Verse 3, by faith, we understand that the worlds, the universe, the ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped, put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Well, we see that to frame the world means to put in order for their intended purpose. Now, this is very, very important because you're going to discover that what motivates creativity inside of you is well-defined objectives. Well, no, Pastor Stephen, I don't want objectives. I just want to be like creative and stay in an abstract world. No, you can pull out of that abstract world, but what you pull out actually has to work and function in the earth. So your creative juices can actually, now you want them to flow freely, but they will actually flow more freely when you have well-defined objectives. Therefore, you have some parameters and guidelines for your creativity. Let me give you an example. The Honda car company, a few years back, had a dream. It's the CEO, it was something that he really wanted. And it wasn't like just a Honda sport car. They'd already done stuff like that. So they've got the very gas efficient small cars. They have the mid-sized sedans. They had the I can't remember the name of the sports car. What was it the NSX or something like that? So they've kind of run the whole gauntlet of that and have done really well. You know, a global company. But the CEO had this dream. He wanted Honda to have a jet. So they developed a separate division within Honda that's called Honda Jet. And they looked the world over to find the best location to build this new jet. And guess where they settled at? Here in North Carolina. And they put the jet headquarters in Greensboro. So I don't fly out of Greensboro too often, but when I do, I can look over there. And anytime you're flying in and out, you can see the giant Honda Jet factory. That's where they're building the Honda Jet. They've got a couple different variants of it and a new one that's going to be coming out in a couple more years that's in certification right now. So let's talk about something interesting here. Your objectives determine how you create. In other words, when Honda wanted to build a jet, they just didn't say, let's be creative and do something different just to be different. No, their creativity was unleashed upon clearly defined objectives, such as, what is the range of this aircraft? How long, how many miles, nautical miles, do we want this plane to be able to fly? Do we want it to be fuel efficient? Well, all jets would like to be fuel efficient, but what could be done differently to make it more even fuel efficient? Because after all, when you think of a Honda car, you think of cars that are getting 40 or 50 miles per gallon. So how can that be translated over into a new aircraft? And then you also have to consider the number of passengers, and you put all of this together of what you want the end result to be. In other words, you have clearly defined objectives, and then you release your creativity upon it. And they did something that had never been seen in the aviation world before, and they actually won the Collier Trophy, which is the highest award that you can get in the aviation industry. They won it for their design and manufacture of the Honda Jet. Let me put it up there on the screen right now. And what makes the Honda Jet so different is, of course, not that it's just built in North Carolina, which I like, but the engines are actually on top of the wings. And every other aircraft that you see, the engines are beneath the wings. But Honda realized we can have improved fuel efficiency if we put the engines on top of the wings. They also realized that the back area of the cabin, the aft area of the jet, if we put the engines on top of the wings, it will allow us to give more area to that back cabin because we're not attaching the wings to the side of the plane. We're attaching them on top of the wings. And so it makes the back cabin area bigger. And they begin to realize there's some very valuable positives for doing this new thing. And so here is the chief designer, Mr. Fujino. He is the man that unleashed his creative juices upon the design of a new jet aircraft, and that's what they came out with. And in 2028, they're supposed to release their best version, which is going to be able to go coast to coast. In other words, if I had it, I could fly from North Carolina all the way to Southern California nonstop. So you can go anywhere in the country with this jet nonstop. So if somebody's thinking, Pastor Stephen, I want to really get behind your aviation ministry, well, come on, let's do it, and we can get in order. we can get our order in. There's already 350 orders for the one that's coming out in the year 2028. I'm sure they could make room for us. Praise God. So here's the new one they are developing right now. It's working its way through certification. 2028, it will be flying about, and then you can go pick one up. Praise God if you've got your order in. Praise the Lord. Amazing things. My friends, creativity is motivated by well-defined objectives. Have you ever met people who are creative, but they can't funnel it onto something. It stays locked off in the imaginary world. It stays continually in abstract. Why? They may be a very creative person, but they cannot aim it or target it on something, and that's because they don't have well-defined objectives. Praise God. Now, the word framed here in the Greek, in the original Greek language, it means to put in order for the intended purpose. And this is done. Remember, this is done by the Word of God. So there's another nugget in that. Let's look at it again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or put in order for their intended purpose by the Word of God. But if you were to see that also in the original Greek language, it says by the rhema of God, R-H-E-M-A. In other words, this is done not by the Logos Word of God. The Logos Word is the entire Bible, Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22 in the very last verse. And it's the whole Word of God. But the Rhema Word of God, and that's what this says, it's done by the Word of God. In the Greek, it's done by the Rhema, or that living Word of God. It is that inspired Word of God. You could say it like this. It's God's specific word to you. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. So God's specific word to you, or God's rhema to you, is where your uniqueness is going to originate from. So you're going to be pulling out of that area. And when you can pull from the word, and you can pull from the gifting and the talent and the anointing that God has put inside of you, I tell you what, you can do some awesome things. Woo, praise God. Now, I want you to have a creative approach in carrying out the various assignments that God has given to you. Now, I know that there can be an overall, or like what we would maybe call like a general overriding type assignment, but even still, to get that done, usually it's accomplished in phases, and you take a bite, you take a bite, you take a bite before you know it, you've devoured the whole course. That's how it is with destiny projects, but you need to have a creative approach. Please say that right now. Say creative approach, and because of that, you're going to be able to carry out your assignments in very unique ways. Creativity is an aspect of God's character, and you are a product of this identity. Woo, praise God. So a lot of times when we think about the character of God, we think about the holiness of God, the purity of God, the integrity of God. But have you ever considered the character of God also as being his creativity? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The creativity of God expressed in his creation, which is you and I. Genesis chapter 1, let's go to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. My friends, you are created in the image of God. Woo, praise God. You are created. You're not cloned in the image of God. You are created. So we're not cloned where we're all like robotic. No, everything about all of us is unique, down to your fingerprint, down to your voice, down to your personality, down to your style. Everything is unique. Why? Because you are made in the image of God. You are created. So God's a creator, and that creative gifting is inside of you. Woo, and we're going to bring it out today. Amen. We're going to stir it up today, and you're going to do some things that when people see it, they're going to think, wow, why didn't we think of doing it like that? Wow, where did she get that idea from? Who told him he could do it like that? Wow. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, let's ask ourselves this. What is creativity? Creativity is the use of the imagination to conceive original ideas, alternative options, new solutions to problems by bringing into existence that which adds value to your life and the life of others. I'm not expecting you to memorize that. That's kind of a technical definition. But I believe it fits. Let me read it one more time. Creativity is the use of the imagination to conceive original ideas, alternative options, new solutions to problems by bringing into existence that which adds value to your life and the life of others. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're not creative, you're not going to look like God. Look, I've had a lot of people copy me. I've had people copy my books. I've had people even copy the title of my books, maybe tweak it just a tiny bit. I know what it is to be copied, and some of that is because they can't sit down and maybe kind of like come up with something, maybe on their own. But in some ways, it's kind of like flattering because it does tell me that there's a lot of people that listen, that even some that maybe if they would say, he's not in my stream, yet they listen to see what maybe they could pull because they like it. And that's all okay. I'm fine with that. It is what it is. And I also listen to other leading ministers, and when they're dropping golden nuggets, yes, I consider that. I ponder that. I take that. But if I'm going to use something also, I'm certainly going to put my twist on it, put my bow on it, and package it in a way where I'm just not like reading verbatim for what they said, or you're trying to come out and copy the exact same thing. You know, I had a friend, he's a minister, extremely good on the keyboard, phenomenal voice, and has put out a couple of CDs, and I absolutely love his music. So he took his some of his music samples and went to Nashville and asked some of the producers, hey, you know, I'd like to, you know, have some of my music more well known. Here's some samples. What do you think? And they listened to it. And they said, well, that's kind of not the sound that we're looking for. And so what they think is popular, they, in other words, the producers, those that are doing this as a business, they're looking for something that's kind of like, what's the sound right now? And if that's what's kind of like working for them, it's very hard for them to break out of that rut, even if there's another sound that's better. So sometimes in cases like that, you may think, well, I'm blocked. Well, if you feel that way, what you have to do is maybe you have to, like in the book industry, self-publish, or you have to find ways with your music to start getting it out there. And you know what? There are many, many avenues to do that. So don't give up just because somebody says that's not quite what we're looking for, because they could be drinking, as we would say, the old wine. And the new wine tastes a whole lot better, but they're not willing to go into that because their wineskin is not willing to expand. And they may end up being the ones who are dinosaurs, stuck in a mode that, it's a lot lower than what God would ever want you to be at. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. So if you're not creative, you're not going to look like God. Mm-mm. Thank you, Jesus. Now, creativity is derived from four primary sources. Again, creativity is derived or pulled from four primary sources. Let's talk about them just for a moment. Number one, it's pulled from an idea. Creativity is pulled from an idea. An idea, a thought or suggestion as to a possible course of action. That's what an idea is. It's a thought or suggestion as to a possible course of action. And God can give you an idea. There is a gigantic difference, I would even say a supernatural difference, between a good idea and a God idea. A good idea can be good, but a God idea will always work if it's implemented properly. Next, we have inspiration. Inspiration is the process of being mentally stimulated to do something creative. And you've got to get in that that atmosphere where there is stimulation. Some things make you happy, some things don't. Some people are not good in cloudy, rainy environments. Some people like that. Maybe they think it's soothing, but you've got to get an ambiance or whatever it is that makes you get those creative juices flowing. Praise the Lord. Next, we have imagination. Imagination is the action of forming a mental image of something not yet perceived in reality. Woo! Woo! Come on, let that get into your spirit. Imagination is the action of forming a mental image of something not yet perceived in reality. Now, if you're going to be creative, you're going to be like God. God calls those things that are not as though they already were. Abraham picked up on that and did the same thing. That's actually what his name meant. Abraham, father of many nations. It's kind of like the Native American Indians of old, back in the 1600s, back when people from England would come over and things like that. They would meet Native American Indians, and you would meet one and say, what is your name? And his name would be like War Eagle. That's because when he was young, he was named War Eagle, and then he grows up to be a mighty warrior. And you might have another one called Howling Wolf. What is your name? My name is Howling Wolf. Howl! You know, and on it goes. So they had like prophetic names given to them, but your name would be tied to your identity. So it's like going up to Abraham. What's your name? Father of many nations. Oh, because that's what his name meant. What's your name? Father of many nations. Oh, that's wonderful. How many children do you have? I don't have any yet. Oh, my. How old are you? I'm 90. Wow. Well, maybe somebody made a mistake on your name. No, God gave him that name from Abram to Abraham, father of a multitude. So it's calling what's not as though it already were. It's creating, bringing things into existence. Praise God. So let's go on to number four, biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom is God's strongest instrument for creativity. Your creative ability is tied to wisdom, and it resides where? In your big toe? No. In the left elbow? No. It resides where? In your mind. Ooh, glory to God. So biblical wisdom is God's strongest instrument for creativity. And your creative ability is tied to wisdom, and it resides in the mind. Now, I want us to also face what sometimes is the unspoken aspect of creativity, and that's boldness. Creativity will always require some form of boldness. And just think about it, that if you're doing something new and you're going into territories that have not been explored before, or maybe they haven't been explored in a long, long time, you're going to need some boldness here. You know, Elon Musk said that when they were developing the Raptor engines and the engines for, the Mars rocket, they wanted to go back and look at the Saturn rocket engines. But it's not like they were just sitting around like, oh, here's one here. Come look at this. Let's fire it up right now. You had to locate them. They were packaged up. A lot of them were disassembled or destroyed. And so they had to relearn some of the old technology, catch that up real quick, and then incorporate some of the new technology and bring all of that together. But yes, there's some boldness in this, and you're going to have a daring element to you. We're not talking about recklessness, but we are talking about some boldness because maybe there's an edge of danger. If you're in the scientific world, you're dealing with certain types of materials. Things can ignite if something goes wrong. You have to really be careful. You want to take all the precautions, but it's like that also. That's why we have test pilots, and we give them really good insurance policies, because we don't want something to happen, but just in case it did, we want the family to be taken care of. Praise the Lord. But my friends, God's going to protect you. God is with you. One of the covenant blessings of the Lord is supernatural protection. Praise God. But that doesn't mean we can just like play it safe all the time. We have to have some boldness, and that can require at times a daringness to take the risk. Let's go for it. We've done our study. We've prayed about it. I believe God's in it. Let's go for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let me give you an example of that. I want to talk for just a moment about a man, the British general named Allenby. Very famous, of course, if you go to Israel and you hang around by the Jaffa Gate, it won't take long to figure out why that place is so famous. But let's talk about it just for a moment. We're going to go back to the year 1917. We're going back over 100 years in time. And the Turkish Ottoman Empire had control of Jerusalem. The British were planning on taking over. In preparation and defense of this invasion, the Turks planned to seal up all the gates to the city and blast open the Eastern Gate, of course also called the Golden Gate, in order to create a fortified secret supply line entrance that would come down into Jerusalem from the Kidron Valley and up through the Eastern Gate. In order to create the supply line, they would have to blow open the sealed Eastern Gate and break an ancient biblical prophecy. And that prophecy is found in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1 and 2, and here's what it says. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it. Because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it shall be shut." So the Turks that were commissioned with this task of blowing up that gate were captured and stopped just hours before the bomb would have been ignited. In the meantime, General Edmund Allenby and his British troops were getting into position to apprehend Jerusalem. Allenby was known as a Christian and a deep, devout follower of God's word. It is reported that the night before the invasion, Allenby prayed that he might take the city without destroying the holy places. He had wired London for instructions and had received the scripture verse as a reply. You want me to read that to you? Here's what the reply was coming back to him from London. And since we've already seen some flying in Isaiah chapter 60, let's stay in the same book and see some more flying. This is Isaiah 31, verse 5. Like birds flying about. Now think about this. 1917, this is what London telegraphed back to Allenby. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Allenby was so excited about this verse that he read it aloud before all his troops that were positioned in the foothills of Jerusalem. Allenby commandeered every available aircraft for a flyover. Now remember, the Wright brothers here in North Carolina did their thing in 1903. So this is 1917 in the Middle East. Hardly anybody had even seen an airplane. Most of the people didn't even know about it because it's not like news was bouncing all over the ancient Middle East, okay? On the morning of December 10, what seemed like hundreds of planes skirted low over the Temple Mount. When the planes went up, a cloud covering hid them so that they were not seen. Only their sound was heard. Flyers were dropped that said, "Surrender immediately. You don't have a prayer." And they were signed by Allenby. What the general did not know was that the Turks believed in an old Islamic prophecy that they would never lose the holy city until a man of Allah came to deliver it. According to reports, the signature of Allenby on the paper dropped from the sky was interpreted by them to mean the word Al-Nabi. So he put Allenby, but they thought it spelt or meant Al-Nabi, and that in Arabic means God, and Be in Arabic means son. So the Turks were looking at a demand to surrender signed by what to them looked like Allah Be or Al-Nabi, which means the son of the prophet or son of Muhammad. And so this sun, whoever this guy is, dropping something out of the heavens, out of the sky, is saying, surrender. You don't have a chance. Mm-mm. Praise God. Praise God. In response, they hoisted a white flag and surrendered. The city was taken without firing one single shot. Woo, that's a miracle. Praise God. You got to get creative sometimes. Sometimes you got to get creative. Woo, praise the Lord. This was an incredible fulfillment of biblical prophecy, which put Israel under British mandate. This mandate, called the Balfour Declaration, called for a Jewish homeland and set the foundation for modern Israel. Jerusalem had been under Muslim control for hundreds of years, but after the Turks' surrender, General Allenby mounted off of his white horse as he entered Jerusalem through the Jaffa Gate, because he knew from the Bible that only the Messiah will enter the city on a white horse. So he got off the horse and walked in. Amen. And of course, if you've ever been to the Jaffa Gate, it's very, very beautiful, very historic. And when we go to Israel, we always take people to the Jaffa Gate. Praise God. My friends, you have to get creative. And of course, Allenby would draw inspiration from the word, and they got the Rhema word out of Isaiah 31, verse 5, like birds flying about. And those planes were flying. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get creative. Pull from the wisdom of the word and bring all of that in and mix it with your ideas. Mix it with your imagination. Watch, it'll just become a furnace of creative genius flowing out of you. And then just implement it. Implement it. Praise God. Bring it out of the imagination realm and bring it into reality. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about another one. This one's really, really neat. And this is the man, Kelly Johnson. And let me put a picture of him up on the screen at this time. And I want to share some interesting things about this man. And those of you that are in aviation, of course, would be very, very familiar with him. Kelly Johnson is probably the most famous and most respected engineer in the aircraft industry. He created the Lockheed Skunk Works, which designed and built, and still does, some of the most famous aircraft in history, and he would almost always finish his projects on time and on budget. That is why he is honored for his project management methodologies, as he is for the technical coolness of the planes he built. And here's some of the amazing airplanes he built and had designed. He's the guy that came up with all of these. The Model 9D Orion, the P-38 Lightning, the Constellation, which was used for airliners, the F-80 Shooting Star, the C-130 Hercules, the giant military transport plane, the F-104 Starfighter, beautiful plane, very difficult to fly though, the U-2, of course, the high-altitude reconnaissance plane, and my favorite out of them, the SR-71 Blackbird, Mach 3 capable, and I've seen it in person up close. Beautiful plane, phenomenal. And then, of course, the F-117A Nighthawk, which was the first stealth fighter. So the thing about Kelly Johnson is that being a contributor for somebody on any of these aircraft would make you a famous person, but he actually led the design on every single one of them. Wow. So he's not just famous for all of the firsts he accomplished with each aircraft, but he's also famous for the way that engineers, even today, look up to him because of his procedures and the way that he would work his ways methodically through project, and they're called Kelly's 14 Rules. Let me pop them up on the screen at this time. Praise God. And here's the thing about his 14 Rules. You may not be creating a new aircraft from a scratch sheet of paper, you know, sitting down on a computer software and designing a modern day jet fighter. That might not be what you're doing, but you can still take these 14 rules and modify them on your project, even if it's a backyard remodel, okay, or a redesign of your lawn out front. You can still take these 14 rules and you can get after it. You may have to reduce them down, shrink them a little bit and tweak it, but they'll work. Here's a few examples. Number one, the Skunk Works manager must be delegated practically complete control of his program in all aspects. He should report to a division president or higher. In other words, if you've got a project manager and he's in there and he's over this small, unified, well-knit team, you can't keep going in there and trying to like override him and make him redo things or restart. You've got to let him use the genius gifting he's got. And they turned Kelly Johnson loose, but they knew they could trust him and they knew that he would get after it, and he did. And that's why he created all of these things. So yes, you do need that atmosphere. If you've got too many rules and too much red tape, you bog people down and you'll create a chokehold, a stranglehold on the creative flow. So the manager must be delegated practically complete control of his program in all aspects. Let the guy do his thing. Okay. Watch. Okay. But let him do his thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number two, strong but small project offices must be provided both by the military and industry. Give us a place to work. Give us privacy. Let us work. Let us do our thing. And this was back in the day when the military industrial complex was not running wild with unchecked budgets. You know, in other words, we have a budget of $800 million. Then the next thing you know, it's ballooned to $4 billion. What happened? We kind of had an oversight and it's costing more money. Well, he doesn't want that. Strong but small project offices. So, number three, the number of people having any connection with the project must be restricted in an almost vicious manner. Woo, that's the most important. If what you're doing, you want to keep it a secret. If you've got the next miracle drug, if you've got the next miracle cure, if you have breakthrough technology or you're working on it, you want a small team. And there will be others that want to get in on it just because of maybe the notoriety or the future fame or whatever. But you've got to keep that group small. You know, I have a friend of mine, and he works for a very large corporation. I'm talking $1 billion up type corporation. And while it has, this corporation, of course, has a lot of employees. I mean, I'm not going to say how many, but a whole bunch. There's only 8 people, he told me, and he was one of them. There's only 8 people that have a key to this one building, and nobody goes into that building ever unless you're one of those 8. Now, I know, he told me, what's in the building. But for all the other workers, you're not even allowed to go on the premises, and you certainly don't have a key, and you certainly don't belong in there. Why? Because what's going on in there is very, very special. I want a key. I want in there. No. And like you said, on these types of things, special projects, you have to restrict it, the number of people, in an almost vicious manner. Use a small number of good people, 10% to 25% compared to the so-called normal systems. Put the best of your best on it, and that's it. Number four, a very simple drawing and drawing release system with great flexibility for making changes must be provided. Let's move quick, in other words, is what he's saying. Let's get this done quick. Why? They have a timeline. The government says we want it on budget and we want it on time. He could do it all under budget and all under time over and over and over again and come out with amazing looking aircraft. Woo, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's all good. Number 11. Funding a program must be timely so that the contractor doesn't have to keep running to the bank to support government projects. Keep the money flowing so the guys can do what they're supposed to do, the guys and the gals. Thank you, Lord. Number 13, access by outsiders to the project and its personnel must be strictly controlled by appropriate security measures. The Garden of Kindness. Are you ready for this? The Garden of Kindness, the Garden of Peace, has a fence around it. You've got to. I found out that what an old timer here in the neighborhood, when he told me this, I found out that what an old timer said is true. Good fences make for good neighbors. Now, when we get to heaven, we won't need any fences. But still, with no fences, even in heaven, that doesn't just mean you walk over and walk into somebody's house. No, you stand outside, knock on the door. Right. So boundaries are respected, but in heaven, there's no trespassing because trespassing is a sin. Praise God. Take some time. Look over Kelly's 14 principles, 14 rules, and you'll find that in some way you could probably apply all of them to your project as you're using your creative ability. And that's what he was doing. He was a creator, creating the world's most advanced airplanes, creating planes that had never been seen before. Praise God. Stuff that even today, decades and decades later, still looks good. Praise God. Now, the highest level of creativity is expressed through the Spirit-filled believer under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, flowing in the Spirit, drawing from the Word, drawing from the mind of Christ that you have. Praise God. And God's going to help you move forward. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for those that are watching right now. Maybe there's writers. Maybe there's been a writer's block. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. You have freedom to write. There's the creativity to write according to the what it is you have to say and the way that you want to say it. For songwriters, according to the way that you want to express your way of worship to God through the way that you worship Him and through the outlets and venues that will reach the people. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor and praise. Father, bless your people. Let there be a new level of creativity flowing in them from this day forward. No hindrance. They'll never, ever, because of this new level of creativity, they will never, ever be stranded on a project ever again. Now, I thank you, Father, that they're going to see what it is they're supposed to do. Because while many people will have questions about perhaps objectives and what the end result will be, there are no questions when we can see it. So, Father, I pray that they can see it done, see it accomplished, see it materialized in their mind before it's ever materialized in reality. Let them be able to see it. I pray, Father, even now a very special prayer. I pray you show it to them. I pray you show it to them. Now, Father, we give you all of the praise because we're pulling from the glory realm. We're pulling from the hem of your garment. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Woo! And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, well, you can fix that right now. You can make the greatest choice, the best choice of your life, the choice that will give you eternal life. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, He'll save you right now. Just pray this very simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I repent of all of my sins. Please forgive me. Jesus, save me right now. Wash me with your precious blood. Write my name in your book of life and step into my life and lead me and guide me from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. My friends, the Lord heard that prayer, and I would say to you, welcome to the family of God. Praise God. Now, let's take Holy Communion together today. Grab some unleavened bread. Grab some grape juice. Woo! Praise the Lord. This is a day of creativity. I see you flying. I've talked a lot about flight today. I see you soaring, soaring in new realms of creativity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. We bless it. We set it apart as being holy. And through this prayer, this is now the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, as we receive the bread, we thank you for the creative juice flowing. Thank you for the creative anointing. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you. There's so much life in Christ. Father, this is really living. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Father, we thank you for Jesus and his blood, and we thank you for such an awesome life that you've given us in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive together. Praise God. Now, let me put up on the screen ways which you can give and bless the ministry. Praise the Lord. And feel free to be creative in your giving. You know, my wife and I were over at a friend's church recently. He was receiving the offering, and I saw somebody come up to the offering table and lay on the offering table a certain type of international currency from a different country that many people are not familiar with. And my wife said to me, she said, "Stephen, would you believe that? Somebody just gave us an offering, this certain type of currency." I said, "Isn't that amazing?" What is that? Creative giving. And by the way, we have a ministry partner from, what is it, South Dakota, I think. I know that sister and her husband are watching right now, and they sent us some of that same special currency. Woo, praise the Lord. What is that? Creative giving. Creative giving. Pastor Stephen, I'm going to bore you to death. Here's another $1 bill. Well, praise God. Amen. We'll receive it, and we'll rejoice in the Lord. We'll put it to good use in the kingdom. But I'll tell you what, some people can get very creative. I get some beautiful cards in the mail sometimes here in the ministry. I read every card, and I see the offerings that when they come in. I see what comes in online. I see what's coming in the mail. But I also see every card, whether it's a like birthday card or just somebody wants to send me a card. I see and read every single one. And that dear sister in Canada that sends me those beautiful cards, you know who you are. Your name is very similar to that of the Learjet. You know who you are. Oh, what beautiful cards. There are some things I not only read, I keep. Woo, praise the Lord. Yes, you can be creative in the way that you honor God with your finances. You could put it in a beautiful envelope. It's a sacred offering. Let's say we're coming up to Pentecost. Here it is, Pastor Stephen, just take it. Have you ever seen people giving an offering? They take the dollar, they take the money, crumble it all up, and then throw it like it's garbage, like just crush the money. Maybe they're mad at God, and just throw it to the offering plate. Wow, what a presentation. Amen, amen. My wife and I just sowed a special seed, amen. And we put it in the most beautiful red envelope. I got the envelope. The envelope was actually given to me by somebody in Hong Kong. I said, "This envelope is so beautiful, I can't throw it away." So I just used it. Woo, praise the Lord. Amen. You can be creative in all kinds of areas of your life. I'm not just talking about maybe like dyeing your hair green, okay? I'm not really into that. Maybe somebody is, whatever. But you can be very expressive and creative in many areas in the way also in which you honor God. So that information is on the board. And thank you for your giving, your tithes, and your offerings that allow us to continue the reach over, I don't know how many, over a billion souls potentially that are watching on satellite all over the world. There's only like 200, maybe 22 nations. We're in over 200 nations right now of the world on the various great networks and platforms that we're on. But we can't do it without you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you even for your creative giving. And side note, on our website, if you want, you can also give stocks and cryptocurrencies, whether it's Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever it might be. Our ministry can accept those. It's very, very easy to do. You can just go to our website. There's a slider that goes across the front page. Just let the sliders kind of scroll by, and you'll see the one that is promoting giving for cryptocurrency. And whether it's a blue chip stock or something like that, or a cryptocurrency, yes, those things can be given. Praise the Lord. Some people, it seems like they want to wait till they die, and then just before they die, they give it. Their only problem is sometimes they die without ever giving it, and they have no will. They have nothing made out to what's supposed to happen to the money. So either the relatives get it and fight over it, and they don't serve God, or the state gets it, and they're going to use it to support Planned Parenthood, abortion centers, or horrible things like that, or maybe open up another ABC liquor store. Be creative in your giving. Praise God. And I sure love you. I thank God for you. Father, bless their giving. Bless their creativity to expand to the next level. Now we give you praise. Thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless your people financially with great increase in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. Thanks for watching. Thank you for your support. I'll see you back again real soon.